Okay, so this is a free ethics call today, and this is coaching ethics, and we're going to be taking a closer look at ethical hotspots in executive coaching. And specifically, we're going to be looking at four areas. Today is September 11th, 2019. For those of you who do not know me, I'm Tina Elliott. I am a PCC and BCC credentialed coach and longtime past member of the ICF Independent Review Board and Ethics Committee. For those of you who don't know who the Independent Review Board, also known as the IRB, that's where we would process complaints. So I spent about 16 years still actually supporting that group at Global ICF because we've been working the last year plus on an updated code of ethics. So hopefully that will be out soon. Some of you may know me as faculty member at Institute for Life Coach Training, so ILCT, and know that I am passionate about ethics and supporting coaches to operate with high ethical standards. So I'd like to welcome everyone to this call, and also I have one little note to make in regards to the call today, and that is if anybody is working and know that they have on-hold music, wherever they're at, please don't put us on hold. If you need to mute or whatever, feel free to do so or hang up and dial back in. So I appreciate that because it makes it really hard for me to talk with on-hold music. So, you know, today's going to be more of a discussion. So what I mean by that, instead of me just talking at you about things, is I really want to open the floor, which is why I love, you know, I appreciate how quiet it is there right now. So I can kind of bring up the topics, and I want to be checking in with you all and seeing, you know, what your thoughts are on some of these topics. I really do believe there's just a ton of wisdom in this room. So I'd love to tap into the wisdom in this room and have some shares and have I like to say, a nice, juicy discussion. As questions come up, please, you know, please step in when I take a breath, and please ask your questions, so we will be doing questions throughout. Let's see, what else do I need to tell you today? Like I said, I'm going to do the best to keep lines open. Also, on this system, if you like, you can press star 6 to mute and star 6 to unmute if you'd like to use the system instead of your own phone. So let's dive in today. So introduction today, we're going to be talking, as I said, about executive coaching. And, you know, when it comes to an ethics perspective in regards to ethics and coaching, for example, in organizations, there's a lot of areas to be aware of just due to the dynamic of working inside organizations as an external coach. Because we're not only engaging in a one-on-one engagement with a client, as we do many times when we're working with individual clients, we're also engaging with others that have an interest in that coaching engagement and actually the interest in it being successful. So many times we have, for example, sponsors, and sometimes sponsors could be HR department, it could be stakeholders, other stakeholders, managers, also I'm going to say possibly others, as in board members, CEOs of the organization, depending on the level of executive that you're coaching. So it's really important, and this is kind of where I see coaches get in some ethical hot water when it comes to coaching in organizations, is not being fully aware many times of conversations that are being had in regards to who you're coaching. So we're going to talk today about some of those kind of important areas to be aware of. That's really going to allow you to kind of, I'm going to say, set the stage for a successful coaching engagement and have a high level of awareness around ethics as you work in organizations. So I'm going to briefly go over these topics and then we're going to dive in. So the first topic we're going to talk about today is setting yourself up for success before you sign the contract to work with an organization. The second topic is we're going to take a look and talk about agreements and addendums to agreements. I know, you know, that's kind of an open hole sometimes for coaches who are just starting to move into executive coaching and how to handle that and what are some of the things to be aware of ethically there as well. We're going to talk a bit about handling and documenting confidentiality and how important it is not only to be having conversations but thoroughly documenting confidentiality and how it works, for example, as an ICF coach or as a BCC coach. Okay, and then also the fourth item we're going to take a look at here today is keeping it ethical with various communication tools. So we're going to talk a bit about what are some of those tools that coaches use to communicate and to share progress, and how do you do that and really keep things confidential with your coaching. Okay? Like I said, this is going to be a Q&A throughout, so we are going to be tapping into the wisdom here today. So let's go ahead and dive in. So as we, again, go through these topics, I'm going to talk about the topic, and I'm just going to kind of throw it out to you all. And I'd love for you to, you know, to share your thoughts, or if you are, you know, if you have some insight on this yourself and how you do things, love to hear about it. And then, of course, I'll be sharing some thoughts on this as well. So let's take a look, closer look here at number one, and this is called setting yourself up for success before you sign the contract. So, for example, let's say you have a new potential coaching engagement, and you've met with the sponsor, say it could be the HR department or HR manager, and you've also met with the coachee to make sure that you're a good fit with the coachee, and also that you're understanding why you're there. So understanding, having clarity around the goals, around the time frame of coaching, you know, payment, you know, really understanding what kind of engagement it is. And this is something definitely we get into more, certainly in my ethics course as well as an new executive coaching course at ILCT, which I'll talk briefly about those a little bit later. But anyway, what's really important is to know what type of coaching you're in there to do. So are you in there to do leadership development, or are you bringing in to do something sometimes called, there's different words for it, but I call it performance coaching, meaning there's an executive that's having some challenges around either their behavior, how they're interacting with their team and others, their managers, and need some support to straighten some things out for themselves. So it's really important that there's clarity around that before you actually step into that, and we'll talk a little bit about why that's important. So what are you? So here we are. You've got this new potential engagement. You've talked both with HR. It looks good to you. You've talked with the coachee. There seems to be a good fit between the two of you. So what are some of the things, the important factors that you, one, need to talk about or have conversations about before actually signing the agreement? So who would like to share some of their thoughts or ideas on, you know, what needs to be laid out beforehand?
This is Sue O'Connor. I would say some of the, like, logistical and kind of how things will run. And the reason I say that is if, you know, the coachee at the last minute cancels, like how all of that will be handled.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so like your operating policies, logistics, all that kind of stuff. Is that right?
Right.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Good point. Yeah, need to be clear on that. Absolutely. Absolutely. What else do you need to be really clear on before you really engage here?
Well, something I've recently encountered is having to set the expectation of what I'm going to report back to the person who sponsored or the department who sponsored because, you know, how much detail they expect, you know, in terms of, you know, what goes on in those coaching sessions. You know, my policy is what goes on is very confidential, but if they are sponsoring you, they do want to kind of report out.
So exactly from a confidentiality perspective, what you will share with the sponsors and what you will not share with the sponsors.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you say that, Evelyn? What do you do?
Well, what I've done, first of all, the clients that I am coaching right now in a corporate environment are there because they're up-and-coming leaders, so it would be under the leadership development category. And we've outlined that if they have a specific area that's been identified that they want to work on, that's the furthest that I will go to disclose anything. So I want to be able to assure the client that I'm coaching that any detail, any troubles, any feelings, anything that they say is confidential, and that their progress will be gauged outside of the coaching environment. So it's whatever their manager observes that's the report out, in essence. All I do report out is we've met, and you know, the number of meetings. The behavior, really, to me, is the report out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way I've worked. I can't feel comfortable having to go beyond saying anything more to the sponsor other than we've been meeting regularly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's okay. Worked. Because when they see progress in the behavioral change, then, you know, then that's good. And if not, then there's something not happening in the coaching.
Mm-hmm. Good point. So certainly, that is certainly one way, absolutely. Thank you for that, because that's important that we define that and set those expectations ahead of time, right? So there's no surprises later. Yeah? Anybody else have some insights? Thank you for that.
This is Diane. Some of the coaching I have done has been for performance, and some has been for leadership development. And I like to set the expectation with the sponsor of the coaching and with the coachee as to what the growing opportunities are.
Right. So clarifying goals, growth opportunities, clarifying the high-level goals. Is that kind of what you're saying, Diane?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And making sure that both the coachee and the sponsor are in agreement with where we're headed with the coaching.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So everybody's on the same page and knows what the objectives are for the coaching, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that is so important. I have seen that come back to bite coaches because they may have had one agreement with one person and then came back and then the coachee says, no, you know, I'm going to change this. I talk with my manager. It's okay. And then we find out later the director comes back, which is above both the manager and the coachee, and said, hey, you missed the mission. Huh? here's the goals. We documented them, and nobody said anything. And, of course, the goals, high-level goals, were sent. So it's really important that everybody is on the same page. Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for that, Diane. Anybody else have a share? Okay. So a couple things, again, is really having those conversations around confidentiality. Really sharing exactly, letting them know, you know, I understand that you want to see progress. Some companies want more than just seeing progress in the individual. They want a report. So we'll talk a little bit about that and how that works, and we get into reporting, talking about that today. Some individuals are okay with just observing behavior and seeing what's happening. I think what coaches really, where I notice coaches get in ethical hot water, is when they go into an organization and they're either grabbed by the HR manager or by the coachee's manager or director, and they're, hey, how are things going? And the coach is kind of on the spot. And so it's really important to think about how do I respond to that? How do I, you know, give the information, give them to please them, but at the same time hold confidentiality? And a lot of times, you know, it's really best to reiterate what your confidentiality is. You know, and you might want to check in, like if you are sending a report saying, you know, I've sent out a monthly report, have you seen that? That type of a thing, or referencing to that and reminding of what the ethics is, you know, that you really cannot, typically it's about keeping the discussion with your coachee confidential, but clarifying again what can be released and what can't. And I have seen some coaches get in hot water with that because they're wanting to please everyone in the company because they want to come back and coach more in the company. So that's something definitely to be aware of. I think also another important factor here before you sign the contract is if you are coaching more than one individual, understand the relationship. Understand what the relationship of one coachee would be to the other. And if you're coaching a subordinate, you know, to be aware, really get some information about what the relationship is. There's been some things that have been very challenging with a tough dynamic between the two. And so to know if that is there and if it's really of value to coach. Sometimes you can be put in a very challenging situation by attempting to coach both if there's, I'm going to say, some bad blood between them because it affects the trust. I do know it is not unethical, by the way, to do that. But I also know coaches who've had some challenges in those arenas and have said, you know, I'll coach one or the other, and I'll bring in another coach to coach the other individual. That just keeps it a lot cleaner. So they each have their own coach, their own trust and confidence with that coach. So again, these are just some things to be aware of before, I like to say, you sign on the dotted line. Okay, any questions or comments on this so far?
Tina, this is Diane. So when you, in that last example you gave, if you have, for example, if you have two colleagues who are in conflict, it's better for each colleague, each coachee, to have their own coach rather than the coach try to coach both at the same, both simultaneously but concurrently. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
Well, what I'm saying is that is not illegal or it is not unethical in any way to coach both. But what I'm saying is to think about that and have an understanding about the dynamic. Because what's most important for us as coaches is to make sure that we have trust. Because in truth, if we don't have trust from our clients, we've got nothing, right? They have to be able to trust us. And if they're sensing that, oh, you're working with this person that I'll get along with, or you're working with my manager and I don't know what's being said. And it also can put the coach in a tough position, being really aware of what you're saying about to whom, where, that kind of thing. So a lot of times it can just be cleaner. But it's important for you to be aware of that and decide if you want to do that, because you'd really have to have, you know, you'd really have to be aware of things. Is that helpful?
Thank you, yes.
Yeah. Tina, this is Sue. I provide change management consulting, and often I am in conflictual situations with multiple members of a team undergoing a change. To that point, part of the dynamic of my engagements are having to coach people through conflict, knowing that multiple members of the team may not agree with the direction the leader is taking them.
Right.
And so one of the ways that I often address that is I speak to them that what happens in our coaching conversation stays confidential, and I encourage them to share up. And if they feel like they cannot share up and they ask me to share up, it is shared up non-attributionally. So it is a theme or a recommendation, never calling out anybody specifically. And I ask their permission first to ensure that, to your point, the trust relationship is maintained, but the information gets flowed up in a way that nobody has a finger pointed at them.
Right. Good point. That's certainly one way to do that. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. Yeah. So, again, you know, this is really important to think about how we're doing this and what we're getting involved with and how we communicate. I know... for example, I've seen coaches get in ethical hot water because they are having conversations with the manager without the coachee, who is their subordinate, who's on their team. It's always best, I like to say, when we're doing coaching is, you know, having conversations. I know there's some people who disagree with this, but I think it's really best to do three-way meetings, so having conversations with a manager with the coachee right there and supporting the coachee, letting the coachee have the conversation, empowering the coachee to have whatever conversation needs to be had is truly the best way. And I think if you have a great process down for progress reporting, you know, it makes it pretty clean. Everybody gets happy because they're like, okay, we see the progress, we see it in the individual, we see it on the report. You know, things are going well. There's not a lot of questions having to be asked. So it can make things a lot cleaner and easier to some degree. Okay? Questions, comments on this? Okay. Another piece here is who will be in the loop of progress reporting. So being clear about where will the progress go to? What is their role? For example, sponsors. Would that include HR? If so, who? Board members, managers? Who else needs to be in the loop? And being clear about that with your coachee, you know, saying that you will have to provide a progress report. Typically what I do is I take my report in that I use and I show them. Everything stays confidential. High-level goal, that's it. And then how we progress, so showing how utilizing a scale of 1 to 10 and how we progress over the engagement. Also, the coachee grades themselves on that, as does the manager. So but I'm going to talk a little bit more about that when we get into progress reporting. And also we'll talk a little bit more about management by proxy, which is something important to remember when we are doing performance coaching. So that's a little bit about beforehand, before we sign the agreement and getting some of those things really sketched out getting clear on it. So let's jump to number two, which actually is agreements and addendums to agreements. So you have a new agreement. You've covered all the bases, pre-agreement signing, which we just talked about. And now you have an agreement, and the organization wants to use their contract versus your agreement or your contract. This is common for a lot of organizations. They say that our legal counsel requires that we use our boiler template, and so therefore we need to use this. So say you read through and you notice some important topics are missing. What do you do? What some of those topics do you need to be aware of that many times will be missing in an organization's consulting boilerplate? Anybody? You know what might be missing in that?
Limitations of liability for the coach.
Yeah, absolutely. That's an important factor because when we do our agreements, and I know those of you coaching in corporate America, you know, we do spend a lot of money typically on, you know, having agreements done by attorneys, making sure that we're covered. Typically, those organizations, a lot of times, they're bigger than us solopreneurs. So it really is important to make sure that, you know, contracts are usually about covering that individual. Right? So it's important, you know, to make sure that that coverage is there. What else is really important that many times is missing, missing in an agreement? Well, let me share with you what's missing many times if you sign an organization's agreement, and that is confidentiality with your coachee. You may see confidentiality as it relates to intellectual property, and you holding confidentiality with their internal documents and intellectual property, but many times confidentiality is completely left out of the loop. So it's really important to be aware of that. To be aware of two things. One, we call it the statement of work. What is the statement of work? What are they contracting with you for? And then also, confidentiality. If it is missing, it's important that it get put in there. Okay? So that is where we go to addendums. Because many times, you know, if you say, well, I need you to add this into the agreement, many times, at least in my experience, organizations say, well, we can't do that to the original agreement. The attorney won't allow it. But they will allow you to do an addendum. So typically it's important to be able to do an addendum, say, you know, we really need to address confidentiality and what will be shared during the progress, the process of coaching, what will be shared when and how and what will not, so that everybody is crystal clear on how this will work. So that's a really important thing that I see left out a lot. So if that is the case, I know a lot of times coaches will just say, oh, well, it's their agreement, everything looks okay, and they'll sign, and they'll miss this component. Okay, anybody questions or comments on that? Thoughts? Okay. So another thing, too, sometimes a lot of us coaches, when we're going into organizations, we are providing more than coaching. Sometimes we're utilizing assessments. Sometimes we're also doing additional training. So it's really important if we are utilizing assessments, or many times organizations will already have an assessment done of their choosing and want the coach to go in and work with that individual on the outcome of that assessment. So I think it's really important to be asking questions around that if that is part of your work, is also asking around confidentiality. Regarding the assessment, is this confidential according to your company? Is this confidential to the coachee? Do others have access to it? That type of thing, so there's clarity on that. That's an important factor to think about. Also, if you're going in there and doing training, as we know, just like in coaching, we're setting goals and there's expectations of results on those goals. Well, same thing if you're going in and doing additional training. I know for myself, going in and doing team training, those types of things, it's really important to be setting expectations, understanding the intended results. Something else I've recently learned, doing a lot more virtual training with organizations and really understanding and clarifying parameters of, you know, a lot of times they'll want to record and access it again, and understanding who has control of that and the duration of use of the recording and things like that. So, for example, you know, creating a license for it, for example, for a certain space of time. Those are important things that a lot of times we just don't think about. We just go in and do it. And but today in the virtual world, it's really important to look at that and how long individuals will have access to that. Okay? And then, of course, again, in regards to agreements, you know, really reporting, you know, being very specific on the reporting process in regards to progress, how that will work, what kind of meetings will happen, if any, who the meetings will be with, etc. Okay. Any other additions or comments on this? Anybody else have any additions? Okay. All right, so let's move on. We're going to talk a little bit more. I think you'll probably notice here there's a very common thread in all of the various topics we're talking about, that there is this common thread around confidentiality, documentation, and the handling of it. So being very specific, we're going to talk about number three now, which is handling and documenting confidentiality. And notice that we've been talking about confidentiality throughout. Like, you know, it's very important. It is one of the, I'm going to say, hot ethical spots where coaches can find themselves in some hot water. But with in regards to handling and documentation, I'd like to put a cherry on top here. And, you know, what are the important aspects of confidentiality that we handle via conversation and documentation? So not just having conversation, but documentation. Let's share some thoughts on it. I know we've kind of talked about a few of these things already, but what are the important aspects of confidentiality and documenting and conversation? Shares here?
I would want to make sure that I met the coachee in a quiet, private space mm-hmm. where they could talk freely.
Okay, so having a quiet space to actually have conversations and discussions with your coachee, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Good point.
So many people work in cubicles and they don't have any privacy.
I know that's huge today, isn't it? I know for a lot of organizations I go into, that's really common. So a lot of times I will request, you know, quiet space, either leaving or, you know, having them get a meeting room or something like that. Because, yeah, it's pretty tough to hold confidentiality in a cubicle, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty tough. Okay. What else? Let's have some other shares. So discussion around confidentiality, with whom, and documentation.
I would say the documentation that you have, like where do you keep it? How do you keep it? Also, what do you do with information? Not what do you do with it, but you will most likely be getting information on the company that is confidential, not just on the coachee.
Right, right.
So...
Are you talking about the company's privacy storage stuff, or are you talking about the coach and their...
The coaches. Like, so what mm-hmm. what kind of agreement is there on where what the coach does with the documentation that he or she has?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. A lot of organizations have clauses in their agreements around documentation and what you have and how it's to be disposed of. There are some... which is why ICF, for example, does not actually say how long you are to keep records, because there are organizations that say you may keep the copies of the documentation until the end of the engagement period, and then it must be destroyed and shredded. Yeah, so that's a really good point. So clarity between that. Good point. Thanks for that. What else? What else around documenting and handling confidentiality and discussion?
This is Julie. So I just actually finished the foundations class and have been approached about using coaching in my current role. So what exactly would get documented? Because we had talked about in foundations not to document.
You had talked in foundations about not documenting what?
The conversation. That would be a best practice.
Hmm. Okay, well, I think, are we talking one-on-one coaching privately, or are we talking in organizations? What are we talking?
That was just for the one-on-one conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, typically what most coaches, not all, but most coaches will work with a prep form, so we let the coachee do the work, creating the prep form, focusing on their goals. Typically what the coach in organizational coaching, the coach will keep track of, for example, we're going to talk about some of those things in a minute, but talking about keeping track and monitoring progress, so a progress report. And there are some specific things, we never get into the discussion, but things, for example, well, like I said, oh, we'll talk about that in a minute. But we have to remember when we're coaching in an organization, and if you're doing executive level management, leadership development, you know, the companies are paying really good money for that. Many times $400, $500, $600, $700, $800 an hour for that. And there's an expectation that not only is there results, that there's some type of progress reporting. So that's really important to think about. Many of us coaches keep hold on to prep forms from our coachees to kind of see what they're up to, what they're doing, progress, what they're working on, and others do not. From a legal perspective, typically we're not required to keep clients' prep forms, but it could be a good reference point. What I do recommend from an ethical perspective, that when we're working with organizations and even our own clients, that we definitely keep that agreement. And this is something I really get into in my course of ethics is, you know, what's one of the first things that is asked for is a copy of the coaching engagement, coaching agreement, when you have an ethical complaint filed against you. That's one of the things that the IRB will ask for right up front. Did you have a signed agreement? So I don't know if I answered anything for you there.
I'll keep listening. I think there's probably more to come that maybe I was a little premature in asking my question.
No, that's fine. And, you know, we'll have some time at the end. You know, I'll leave a couple minutes at the end, and if I didn't answer questions or those kind of things, then, you know, we'll leave some time for that, okay? But thanks. Good point. All right. So, again, confidentiality, really, really important. What will be shared, when will it be shared, and how will it be shared? You know, who is involved? Not only having the conversation with those individuals, many times stakeholders, I've had work with a whole board, working with the CEO and having concerns about his performance and them all wanting a monthly update on progress. And certainly we can update, I use a form that I'll talk about in a minute, but that actually will show, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10 progress on a monthly basis. I've worked engagements where I do a progress report and update goals, progress, every 3 months. So it just depends on the engagement. But it's really important to be clear in your discussions and in your documentation and your agreements is about what will the reporting process be, who will it go to, so who will have access to that information, and what and when will be when it will be shared. Okay, because it is so important to remember what ICF says about confidentiality. And basically, it says all coaching meetings are confidential between the coach and the participant. No information is shared by the participant. With the coach will be reporting back to the company, including and not limited to the partners, participants, immediate supervisor, and human resources. But ICF really does consider everything confidential unless there is some other documentation that shares and very much states what will be shared with others. You know, I like to say our safest way in documenting and sharing information is to support our coachee to provide that information to others. So having conversations with their HR rep and how they're doing, having conversations with their manager, having conversations if there's a whole board involved is sitting down and talking about their own progress. I like to say that is pretty much the safest way. Questions or comments on this?
Actually, I really like that concept. That could you write that into an agreement that the person being coached will have a monthly conversation with their manager about their coaching progress? I mean, obviously you can't force an individual, but can you put that back on the coachee?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, That's much more comfortable for me than having to document what, you know, progress. I mean, I love that.
Yeah. Well, it's usually, honestly, a combination. When we say progress, we're just talking about whatever the high-level goal is that's agreed for either leadership development or performance. So there's no discussion being shared, but you're right, and that's what I feel more comfortable with, too, is, you know, having those three-way meetings with whether it be the board, the HR manager, the manager, the direct supervisor. Having those conversations handled by the coachee, being in a three-way meeting, we call it, where you're there supporting them, but letting them talk, letting them share, letting the manager, HR, question them. Yeah, you're right. That's a really good point. I really think that's the best way, and I think we have to work with our organization and what their expectations are, and really seeing how we can work that in the best. I do believe that is the safest way for everyone. Because it really helps, you know, somebody kind of yanking you aside as you go in, oh, hey, I want to check in on progress on so-and-so. Say, yeah, let's get together with the coachee, let's do that. You know, it's better to have those conversations than being put on the spot. Great thought. Anybody else?
This is Julie. I think that's what hit on for me. That I think I was trying to kind of get to, how do you document something and then report on it when there's all these parameters of confidentiality. And so that suggestion, I think, just clarified it for me.
Yeah, good. Okay, good. Yeah, see, it's really important what we have in our agreements. So, like, if you look at the ICF code, it all says everything's confidential, everything for our clients, our coachees. But when we're doing this type of coaching, it's really important that we document what will be shared, what will not be shared. These are certainly things that I share in my ethics workshop, and also there's going to be another course coming out on executive coaching at ILCT I'll talk a little bit about. So it's really important to realize this is what ICF says, everything's confidential, and if you have anything that's deterring or different than full confidentiality and not sharing any information whatsoever, except, as many of us know, there are exceptions at ICF, meaning if someone shows themselves to be danger to self or others, also if there's some kind of criminal activity that's reported, you know, those types of things are really important, of course, that ICF says you have the right and responsibility to report to appropriate authorities. And again, this is something we go over in great detail in my ethics course and talk about that, also giving you language for that. So those are just some tips on handling and documentation and some things to really be aware of and how, you know, you want to handle it. It's always about how we want to handle it, but also working with our organization to make sure the organization is getting the information that they need and that they feel comfortable with. Okay, questions or comments or any other thoughts on this? Okay. So before we dive into number four, we're going to go over some of the progress reporting and some of the various tools that typically executive coaches use. I want to just take a quick little moment and share about this upcoming course. And again, this is Coaching Ethics. IQ is what it's known at Institute for Life Coach Training, who is my partner in this. And then also, it's, if you signed up directly with me, it's called Staying Out of Ethical Hot Water for Coaches. And this course has been dramatically expanded now, added another 2 hours plus a whole bunch of additional information, what's going on in the coaching industry in regards to ethics, learning from other coaches' mistakes, just learning what other coaches have gotten in hot water for, had complaints filed for, can be really powerful in your awareness. And then also utilizing, I like to say, some juicy actual ethical dilemmas because what happens is we read the code and we go, oh, yeah, I get it. But then when it comes to the application to the various situations you're in, that's where the challenge happens is how do we really apply the code to the situation? And that's what these ethical dilemmas show you. So I just want to share that. This is coming up starting September 18th. So if you're ILCT, you can sign up. It is the coaching ethics course. And if you're here through my notifications, you can certainly sign up at my website. Also, I'll be sending the recording out and a link for that if you're interested. So we do really get into many things in this ethics piece about confidentiality, working as executive coaches. We get into what about if your coachee comes in and they breached a business policy, but yet all your work is confidential. you know, what kind of policy, what kind of statement do you need to have to put in your agreement to make sure that, that's handled appropriately, okay? These are the things that we've seen come back and bite coaches. So, again, that's something we talk about there. And then one other new course that's coming up at ILCT is Introduction to Executive Coaching, which I will be teaching in starting the end of October. And this is a 9-hour course, and we will get into more depth in some of the things we're talking about here, but also talking about start-to-finish executive coaching, the executive coaching process, the reporting, the confidentiality, understanding goals and how to manage that and how to manage the goals and strategizing. And I like to say being an edgy coach, that's important that we're a strong coach when we're working with executives. These are some pretty powerful people sometimes. So I like to say we can't be wimpy coaches, so it's important to understand what that looks like. In this course, you'll also receive a toolbox, so a form, some of the things we're going to be talking about in just a minute here. We're going to be talking about progress report. Many organizations want return on investment reports and what those look like and how we create those. So these are some of the things that will be included in this new executive coaching course at ILCT. So I wanted to share both of those with you. I'm happy to talk more about any of you afterwards with either one of those courses. So let's go ahead and let's talk about this last one, because I think this last item here, number 4, is really important. And it's called Keeping It Ethical with Communication Tools. So again, what we're talking about here is progress reports, and I like to say ROI, return on investment reports. And many coaches, they have tools such as progress reports that they use and return on investment reports. And then how to keep it ethical. How do we provide progress but not release confidential parts of the coaching conversation? So I know we have some folks here that are doing this, so I'd love to hear from you. I think we've talked with one already, but you know, let's have some shares here about how you're doing this out in the real world here, how you're giving the company or the sponsors what they need to feel confident in what's going on and the progress being made, but yet at the same time keeping the conversations confidential. We have some shares on that.
Well, I'm working with a very easy client. They're corporate, but they're very relaxed about these things. So my reporting to the executive sponsor has been very general. So with, you know, how many times we've met and the general topics that we've talked about. So, for example, one of my clients, the general topic was managing subordinates that are an older generation. And she was having some issues with managing older people that report to her that have some technical challenges and how to address them and how to, you know, show an appropriate level of respect while addressing their performance related to some of their challenges. So it was a very general report. You know, we've met this number of times, and these are the subjects that we've discussed.
Okay. So like you said, this is kind of a, you've got a simple arrangement here. It's kind of relaxed is what you said, I believe. Is that the term you use?
Yeah.
And that's nice that you have that. That is really nice. But other times when we go into organizations, sometimes they're bigger organizations. They may have more stringent rules. They have more expectations. I will share with you if you are going in and doing, quote, performance coaching. That means that somebody's kind of in trouble. That's a nice way of saying it, and they need to straighten it out. I want to talk for a second, detours a bit from the forms, but it's called management by proxy, and I've seen this happen on many occasions. Some of you know me, know that I've been director of coaching at an executive coaching firm. And many times what companies will do is they will call in a coach to come work with an executive who's having challenges, and they're not clear about the consequences with the actual coachee. So, for example, they may say, you know, this person needs to straighten out or getting fired. Well, they communicate that to the coach, but then it's really important that we step in and say, has that been communicated to the coachee? And if so, when and what was said? Because I've heard somebody say, yes, it was, when in fact that was not communicated at all, and they put it on the coach to communicate that. We call that management by proxy. That's something we do not want to do or ever be put in that position, because it's not your job as the coach to be delivering that kind of information. That needs to come from their management. So it's really important, you know, that we're, that's when we're going in there, what kind of engagement is it? Is it strictly leadership development? Is it performance? Those are really important conversations to have up front, okay? In regards to progress reporting, in regards to tools, and these are some of the tools, again, that we're going to discuss here now, is we're going to, that's going to be part of the executive coaching course. You will get a toolbox of many of these tools. So I want to talk about progress reporting. I know there's all different kinds of progress reports out there. There's different ways of reporting it. There are some that do not put anything on paper. What I'm finding mostly today is companies, because they are spending really big bucks, many, many thousands of dollars on executive coaching, they want something else besides just observing behavior and getting feedback. Yes, there are assessments where you can assess initially, those 360 assessments. And by the way, there's thousands of 360s out there today. Many times those tools can be helpful, and organizations love assessments, by the way. Those can be done initially in the beginning and certainly can be run later. That could be a form of reporting, but it's important to be clear on what the company is looking for as a way to report progress. It's also important that you are clear on what you're willing to share and how you hold confidentiality and why you hold the confidentiality. Trust, as we know, is center stone. It's really the core of being able to effectively work with our clients. And if we don't have full trust that there's our work is confidential and kept confidential, then it's going to really be hard to work with your, to go to the deeper things and work with your executive. So I want to talk about progress reporting. Like I said, there's all different kinds of reports out there. Some of the reports are very common, where I've heard some comments today where it's about, you know, many coaches do progress reports monthly, where you're actually listing the dates for the month that you met. Sometimes there's questions around, are they fully showing up? You know, are they engaging in the coaching, maybe on a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 not at all? That's important for your organization, the organization, to know, because why are you there if they're not showing up or they're not engaging? And those things need to be brought to the attention immediately, first of the coachee and what's going on, and then letting them know if it continues, I am required to report that. Which is why I always sit down with my form when I have my first meeting with my coachee and say, this is what I have an agreement with your company to report. So they know that I'm reporting that monthly. Also, what I do is typically there's 2 to 3 goals that they're working on, sometimes 1, but typically 2 to 3. We list those goals on there. We meet certainly in the beginning, a 3-way meeting with managers, getting the manager's input, making sure everybody's on the same page. So listing the very high-level goal, no strategies, no nothing, just high-level goal. And then from that, typically what I use is a 1 to 10 grading. So typically when you first start grading on that, it's usually around development. It might be a 1 or 2. And the intention is to move up that scale up near to 10, 9, 10, 8, 9, 10, depending on the length of the engagement. And that's something else we talk about in this executive coaching course, is, you know, setting expectations based on how frequent you're meeting and also the duration of the engagement, because it's really important that we set that with the organization. Some organizations go, well, we're going to try it on for 3 months. Well, 3 months, for those of you out there coaching, know that's not a very long time. So this is something we talk about in this course, is how to set the expectations for a 3-month engagement, a 6-month engagement, 9-month engagement.